Hello, welcome to the Saturn edition of your local talking newspaper, covering St Albans and the surrounding district. This edition is for the week ending October the 13th, 2018. I'm Michael, one of your readers for tonight, and I'm joined in the studio by Mayo, Angela and Lisanne. The piece of music you've just heard is called Angel's Ark, and we'll play all of it at the end of this recording. As usual, our thanks go to Goffby, who composed the music and has given us permission to use it. All the news items in this recording have been taken from the Hearts Advertiser, and we'll finish with a summary of the radio programmes we think you might enjoy over the next week. And here is Mayo with the first item.
Hello. This item is called New Drive to Tackle the Stigma of Mental Health. The Hearts Advertiser has teamed up with a leading anxiety specialist to launch a new campaign encouraging people to speak out about mental health concerns before they escalate. The It's Okay to Say initiative aims to raise awareness of mental health issues and break down stigmas surrounding them, as well as urging people to speak up and seek help if required. It will also be promoting better practice for mentally healthy schools and how healthy habits for better minds can become part of daily life. Children's anxiety specialist Stacey Turner, who is also an ambassador for suicide awareness charity, the Ollie Foundation, is leading the campaign alongside the Hearts ad. World Mental Health Day celebrates global mental health education, awareness, and advocacy against social stigma. This year's theme, set by the World Federation for Mental Health, is Young People and Mental Health in a Changing World, which is fitting as It's Okay to Say is born out of almost 20 years of work listening to what children, teenagers and adults need to function healthily on a daily basis. Life can be so hard to understand. People can be hard to understand. And often we struggle with our own thoughts, reactions and actions. My goal for It's Okay to Say is to open more minds, to inspire more curiosity related to mental health and to bring about more understanding. To help alter perception, paving the way for a more nurturing road forward, and certainly to tackle this thick fog called stigma. I have witnessed rooms full of worried parents desperately seeking information of what to do and where to turn. Teenagers confessing what they wish they'd had support and help with, as perhaps their lives would have turned out differently if they had. The message is always the same. Reach out for help. Talk as much as possible and then talk some more. Learn how to manage emotions and gain essential skills to support you through life's transitions and occurrences. I believe by highlighting and modelling better mental health within our society, we will encourage people to take action before a problem escalates and hopefully promote the message that it's okay to say if you are scared or worried about something rather than keep quiet and hope it goes away. Now, this has been said by Matt Adams, who is the Hearts Advertiser Group Editor. Over the coming weeks, the Hearts ad will be focusing on different mental health issues and what help is available locally, whether through the NHS, privately, or through charities and helplines. They will also be encouraging local schools to get involved in better mental health and why it is essential to support children from a young age to avoid trauma later in life, working alongside partner organisations to get the campaign message across. Hearts Advertiser Group Editor Matt Adams also said, "We have been actively highlighting issues surrounding mental health over the past year, and it's now time to take the next step. This campaign is an important tool in promoting better minds and encouraging us all to speak out about any difficulties we might be facing in our daily lives. I am pleased to be working alongside Stacey on this crucial initiative to break down stigmas surrounding mental well-being and highlighting the help which is available. It's Okay to Say is being sponsored by St Albans and District Chamber of Commerce. And Chamber President Alistair Woodgate added, "We are pleased to support this campaign. Any one of us could have mental health issues at some point in our lives. The unnecessary stigma around mental health wrongly forces sufferers to be silent. Positive mental health works as an asset to a business, helping employees to thrive. Surveys have indicated that 90% of millennials say they're more likely to stay with their company if they believe the organisation identifies with their needs. The Chamber of Commerce is keen to support, encourage and build opportunities for both current and future business people, and that includes a more supportive environment for those with mental health concerns. If the next generation eliminates the stigma of mental health, that will create a positive environment for all." Follow the campaign's journey in the Hearts Advertiser and listen for updates on Radio Verulam with Danny Smith the first Monday of every month at 5:30 p.m. Stacey said, "I wish I had a magic wand. I want to take all the pain away. However, sadly, I can't. I can offer hope and reassurance through this campaign and inspire you to begin your journey to become the best you possibly can, directing you to the help you need. Whether that help is for you, your family, children, friend, it's there. Let me show you." And there is a picture of Matt Adams and Stacey Turner launching the campaign on Radio Verulam.
And the next article is headed, "Student Aggressor Allowed to Take Dubai Holes Before Starting Curfew." A judge has allowed a student responsible for a beating outside St Albans Slug and Letters to holiday in Dubai before starting his curfew. At St Albans Crown Court on Thursday, October the 4th, Judge Michael Kay, QC, said Maximilian Straub could have his week's holiday in Dubai before starting a curfew for common assault and affray. This is despite saying Straub, age 20, was an aggressor whose persistent aggression led to the horrific scenes of someone lying in the road being punched and kicked. The judge added, "This is another depressing event from the streets of St Albans that persuades elderly people and the public not to go to the centre of St Albans at night, as they may come across drunken and violent youths in the middle of an affray." The incident took place after midnight on November the 4th last year, when Straub was ejected from the Victoria Street bar for grabbing someone around the neck after a cigarette was found in his drink. Despite his friend trying to pull him away, Straub began challenging the victim inside the pub, saying, "I am going to, expletive, you up." Judge Kay said Straub was angry and continuing to inflame the situation. He added, "Eventually the person came outside and you continued to aggravate the matter by being aggressive and abusive towards the victim. Others at the scene, who you did not know, and probably they did not know the victim, saw an opportunity to indulge some primitive enjoyment by kicking another person. Someone hit the victim, but the court decided it was not Straub, leading to a struggle where the victim grabbed Straub and they fell to the ground. At that point, a number of people began kicking and punching, leading to the victim suffering a broken nose. Straub, who divides his time between Meadowview in Redbourne and a master's degree in engineering at Sheffield University, had previously pleaded guilty to the charges, which can carry a prison sentence. He was ordered to carry out 150 hours of unpaid community work and must abide by a curfew between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. for the next 3 months. This curfew will not begin until Monday, October the 15th, as he's flying out to Dubai for his dad's 50th birthday, a flight arranged before the incident took place.
Hello, my name is Lisanne, and my first article is BHS site application faces rejection by council in spite of potential £25 million investment. The proposal to redevelop the British Home Stores site in St Albans has again been recommended for a refusal. St Albans District Council officers have recommended the authority's Planning Referrals Committee refuse permission for Reef Estates to build a 130-bed, five-storey hotel at the St Peter Street site. A council officer report written ahead of next Monday's committee meeting says this is because of the excessive height, massing and form of the proposed fifth storey. The proposed building would appear incongruous in long-range views when viewed from the west and southwest, and close views from Drover's Way, and would break the skyline within a building height control area. The addition of the fifth storey would be detrimental to the character and form of the historic skyline. The proposal would therefore result in demonstrable harm to the skyline and conservation area, and that harm would not be outweighed by public benefits. The council report also recommends refusing the hotel application as it would lead to the loss of a large amount of retail floor space and retail frontage located in a prominent site in a designated primary shopping frontage, would detract from the vitality and viability of the city centre. It has not been demonstrated the site is not suitable for retail use. The British Home Stores site is between the works and an alley to Drover's Way. The store has lain vacant since September 2016. The committee previously considered the application in July, when officers also recommended refusing permission, but the decision was deferred. The council has been inundated with 92 expressions of support for the proposal, including from St Albans Business Improvement District, BID, St Albans Civic Society, and a former director of the Chamber of Commerce. Reef Estates Development Director Will Rodler said, "The redevelopment of the former BHS will support tourism in the city and regenerate a site that has sat vacant for over 2 years, increase vibrancy to a part of the high street that is struggling, especially given the recent closure of Pound World, and provide around 60 jobs. We have made significant changes to deal with the objections from council planners and hope councillors will listen to their voters and local groups and support in excess of £25 million of investment into St Albans." Chairman of St Albans Civic Society, Tim Boatswain, has written to all of the Planning Referrals Committee members urging them to support the application. In the Society's representation to the Council regarding the application, Professor Boatswain wrote, "The community needs to be attracted by diverse social and economic activities located in appropriate spaces surrounded by good quality architecture. With the opening of the Town Hall, Museum and Gallery, alongside the city's avowed tourist policy, there is an anticipated increase in visitors, which makes the construction of an hotel on the BH site wholly appropriate. In the Society's view, it is entirely unrealistic and short-sighted to believe that any retailer could successfully occupy the whole site." BID manager Helen Burridge has also written a representation to the council saying, "Drover's Way is a common exit point for shoplifters from St Peter's Street. Great visibility by a glass-fronted business with access to the BID Business Crime Partnership will enable those individuals to be tracked more effectively by CCTV and police, in the longer term providing a deterrent to would-be criminals. Given the number of BHS buildings currently standing empty and unwanted across the country, the advocacy for and investment in St Albans' future economic growth is most welcome." The landlord of The Boot, Sean Hughes, a former Chamber of Commerce director, has also given his support for the proposal, saying, "St Albans must move quickly to ensure we do not have a high street full of empty shops. These big shops are no longer fit for purpose, and the fact this proposal has multiple plus a hotel is great. The design from the front of the building will hugely improve that part of the street, which currently looks dreadful. We need more hotels, and we need a quality building in this part of town. To see the application, visit St Albans District Council's website and search for planning application reference 5/2018/0631.
This article is headed, It Deserves Better. Historic Park Space Loses Prestigious Green Flag Award. An iconic St Albans park has lost its mark of international quality because general maintenance standards have dropped. For the first time since 2004, Clarence Park did not join numerous other public spaces around the district in receiving a Green Flag Award. Reasons cited include pothole-ridden footpaths, a dirty and broken water fountain, neglected soil, an overlooked sensory garden, and half-completed planting. Judges thought the pavilion, although described as impressive, needed renovation. They said the park is valuable and well used, but in need of a review of horticultural standards. The staff we met were clearly working hard to make the park the best it could be, but there appeared to be a lack of sufficient resources to present the park to the standard that it deserves. It is a lovely park with a significant historical place in this community. Both the park and the staff who look after it deserve better. Sites around the district which received the accolade included Harpenden Common, Lydecker Park, Rothampstead Park, Chiswell Green's Greenwood Park, Cotton Mills Sopwell Nunnery Green Space, Hatfield Road Cemetery, Bricketwood Common and Jersey Farm Woodland Park. Additionally, Verulamium Park was named a Green Heritage Site. Portfolio holder for the Environment for St Albans District Council, SADC, Francis Leonard said, "The result was unexpected. The Clarence Park Consultative Forum was also surprised, as the loss of the green flag, as the park is generally regarded, to be in a very good condition. We have a Clarence Park Action Plan that is updated regularly and commits us to a number of exciting projects, such as a planned revamp of the children's play area. The park remains a very attractive and much-loved amenity that is widely used by residents. We're committed to keeping it in top condition by making continual improvements and hope to regain the green flag next year." SADC's City Neighbourhood Committee manage the park. The Green Flag Mark is a 22-year-old international award given to any public space with high environmental standards, maintenance levels and visitor facilities. And there's a lovely photograph of Clarence Park, the avenue down to the pavilion, taken either very early in the spring or in the winter.
The Hearts Advertiser is continuing with its campaign in this article because it's about a 13-year-old St Albans pupil who won an award for designing a film encouraging young people to talk about mental health. Alex Strazza, a pupil at Verulam School, was one of two young people who won a Hearts County Council competition to design a film for World Mental Health Day as part of the Just Talk campaign. The campaign encourages young people to talk about what's on their mind without judgment or embarrassment, and the two winning entries were professionally produced as films. Alex said, "When I first entered the competition, I thought it was just another piece of homework. But then after looking into it, I realised it was really important for boys all across the country to talk and tell people their problems. I really enjoyed making the film and I'm a lot more confident as a result." Assistant Head Mrs Harrison praised Verulam pupils for submitting 80 entries to the competition.
Plaza, promised as open space for the community, may be shut off due to council blunder. A luxury courtyard of new houses can now be cut off from the community after a detail was omitted from planning documents. Public access to Gabriel Square was specified in the development's planning application, which was first approved in 2013. It was sold as a significant amenity which will benefit those living and working in the surrounding area, similar to classic examples of Georgian and Regency London, adding, unlike many of the garden squares of London, the proposed new amenity space will be open to all, provided for the benefit of the city's inhabitants and visitors. The square is bordered by London Road, Alma Road and Victoria Street. However, when St Albans District Council, SADC, officers drew up the Section 106 agreement, public access details were omitted, leaving developers Mayor Holmes with the right to make the site private. A sign has already been erected stating, "Private property, residents only." Councillor of that ward, Jackie Taylor, has lodged a complaint with SADC Chief Executive Amanda Foley. Councillor Taylor said it's being investigated. Taken at face value, it does sound like something should have happened that hasn't. Firstly, with any planning development, developers are making a commitment, promises. They held an information session where residents could go along and they talked about it being like a London square open to the public. Promises were made and it's reasonable to expect that they are delivered on, and that is really the most important thing. She wants to know why public access was left out of the S106, if anything can be done and what can be learned for the future. Adding, it's always nicer and safer to walk along routes which aren't right along a main road. Alma Road and London Road are busy roads for traffic. And if you're walking down with young children or anyone slightly less mobile, it's nicer away from the main roads. Roads with high levels of traffic also have more pollution. Frustrated SADC councillor Chris White said he has been hearing from residents who fear it will become a gated region in the heart of the city, cut off from the rest of the community. Councillor White said he believes it was an error on SADC's part. In the planning permission, it was clear there would be public right of way because these things matter. But basically, someone has forgotten and that's rubbish. That means they can put up gates and if you have places of St Albans gated, it's not as much of a community. Having a public open space is really important to being a community. Gabriel Square is being represented by estate agents Collison Hall. An earlier planning application was rejected, partially because it included a gated element at London Road. Both that refused application and the approved documents were submitted to SADC by Spen Hill Developments. Mayor Holmes took over the project in 2015 after construction of 80 homes on the former Eversheds printing works site had already started. Head of Planning at SADC, Tracy Harvey, said, "The developer of Gabriel Square has recently erected signs controlling public access to the central garden square. Investigations by the council's planning enforcement team have concluded that these signs do not result in a breach of planning control." She said that public access was deliberately not included in the S106. For items to be included in an S106, planning legal agreement, they have to meet tests set in national planning law. The developer's intentions in relation to the provision of public access were considered in the assessment of the planning application, but were not judged to be necessary to make the application acceptable. A spokesperson from Mayor Holmes said residents had requested the sign. The garden square is privately owned and maintained by service charge contributions from the residents. It remains as private and for use of the residents only. There has never been a public right of way through what are now the gardens, and the developer has never been asked to grant one. The developer has recently submitted a planning application to gate the entrances to Alma Road. This is in response to residents' requests, following access being misused by a small number of people since the development has been completed. And there's a picture showing the completed development, Gabriel Square, and the lovely green space there in the centre, which sadly is not accessible to anyone from the public.
NCT Babies Group reunited after chance meeting in gym changing room. These two photos mark the union and reunion of an NCT Babies Group after a chance meeting in a gym ended nearly 40 years of separation. So on the left-hand picture, there are four babies. On the right-hand picture, there are two young ladies. Rebecca Westlake was in the changing room at Nuffield Health Fitness and Wellbeing Gym when she overheard two women talking about how their daughters would be turning 40 soon. She said, as they chatted, it became apparent these two ladies had known each other when their babies were little, but hadn't really seen each other much in recent years. When they mentioned their daughters' birthdays were in November, my ears pricked up. Then they started to chat about the other babies, and I realised these ladies were NCT friends. National Childbirth Trust groups are made up of expectant parents who attend classes where they are paired with other couples who are expecting around the same time. Rebecca, who was born in 1978, was part of a group of four babies with another girl named Rebecca, whose mother Caroline shared a name with Rebecca Westlake's mother, Philip and Helen, before moving to Harpenden. Rebecca continued, one of the women in the gym said, I wonder what happened to the other Caroline with little Rebecca, the one who lived in Grange Street, then moved to Harpenden. I think I actually felt a shiver run up and down my spine, and I just blurted out, I'm Rebecca. Obviously, they looked at me like I was completely mad, which was not helped by the fact we were all stood there in towels, but then realised what I was saying. We were all so shocked. They had lost touch with my mum when I was really quite little. I immediately thought of this photo, which I had seen so many times in my parents' album. It's the NCT babies. As if things weren't already surreal enough, it then turned out that one of the babies was married to one of my university friends, who I hadn't seen for years, but bumped into again recently and now see quite regularly because our daughters play hockey together. The friend, Peter Edge, had married Helen and had a daughter who attended Harpenden Hockey Club with Rebecca's daughter. The group are now looking for Philip, who they believe has links to Hatfield. Rebecca said, all very strange, but so nice that I've been able to put my mum back in touch with these ladies who she shared such a special time with.
This article is about a charity skydive, and there's a photograph of Jackie Egan and Greg Hilton from the St Albans Office of Churchill Retirement Living giving a cheque to Willen Hospice in Milton Keynes. Employees in the St Albans Office of House Builder Churchill Retirement Living skydived to help raise £924 for charity. Jackie Egan and Churchill's Eastern Regional Manager, Managing Director, Greg Hilton, were one of 31 Churchill workers who took part in a tandem skydive where they are connected to a professional. Greg said of Willen Hospice in Milton Keynes, the charity they raised money for, Willen Hospice is a fantastic charity that does some excellent work in the local area, and I'm proud of all our colleagues' efforts to raise these vital funds to help them continue to make a real difference. The group of 31 jumped from 15,000 feet and were free-falling for 60 seconds before coming safely down to earth. Last week, Greg and Jackie presented the cheque for £924.07 to Willen Hospice, which provides end-of-life care to patients while supporting both them and their family.
This article is called Anniversary Walk, and there's a picture of a number of women outside the Country Bumpkin, which is a tea and cake shop. And the women are from Harpenden Village, WI. The Women's Walking Group celebrated its 360th event over 30 years with tea and cake. Every month for three decades, women of the Harpenden Village WI have got together for a walk around Harts, Beds and Bucks. The 360th walk was about 5 miles through woodland and ended after a couple of hours at the Country Bumpkin Cafe near Chewin. Participants enjoyed congratulatory tea and cake. The walking leaders over the years have been Anne G., Sally Lawson, Maureen Crutchley, Janet Thornhill, and Barbara Sachak. Denise Moores, who has been attending the WI walks every month for 8 years, said, "It was great, absolutely superb in the beautiful Hertfordshire countryside. The walks really encourage members to enjoy the countryside and enjoy being with others. We love it."
And now for news of a forthcoming exhibition. Winners of a secondary school art competition will be exhibited in the St Albans Museum and Gallery. The best multimedia artwork submitted to the St Albans Legacy Project by Year 7 to 10 pupils will be available to view in the Assembly Room of the renovated Town Hall. There were more than 200 entries, judged by historian Kate Williams. Penny Kiriakou won the 2D category. Annabel Bushell and Morgan Hopp came top of the 3D category. Soen Das bagged the written award, and Sophie Kelly triumphed in the performance category. Runners-up were Emily Stevenson for 2D, Amber Dalziel, Emily Reed and Verity Bowery for 3D, and Joné Esterhuizen for written. A map of where the ancestors of current St Albans people were living in 1918 will also be on display. The exhibition is part of the St Albans Remembers season from October the 27th to November the 15th.
Coffee morning. A fun afternoon of games, cake and coffee in Harpenden raised nearly £250 for Macmillan Cancer Support. Financial advisory firm BPH Wealth Management LLP hosted a cake sale as part of Macmillan's National World's Biggest Coffee Morning. Employees ate treats, drank coffee and played games such as guess how many sweets in a jar and guess the length of the veggie roll. A spokesperson from BPH's charity committee said, "It was great to get people together, have a nibble and a natter and raise money for Macmillan to help people living with cancer at the same time. Especially as this is the first year BPH has created a charity committee. We just want to thank everyone who supported and helped to make it such a success." Michaela Callan, Safa Shams and Beth Males make up the BPH Charity Committee. So far, the World's Biggest Coffee Morning 2018 has raised more than £3 million.
This article is entitled "Businesses and Council Put on a Big Show for Great British High Street." And it's accompanied by a photograph of the town crier and the judges for the Great British High Streets Award outside the clock tower. The traditional joined forces with the modern in St Albans to welcome the judges for the Great British High Street contest. St Albans City Centre has reached the final 12 in the national competition, which recognises the best high street in each country in the UK. And the judges' decision counted for 70% of the outcome. Town crier Stephen Potter, in his blue and gold uniform, hammered his bell outside St Albans Clock Tower to urge the assembled group of dignitaries, business leaders and the public to post their vote for the city centre by tweeting or posting on Facebook or Instagram with the hashtag #MyHighStreet and #GBHS St Albans. He said, "It is our pleasure and privilege to welcome to the City of St Albans the judges of the Great British High Street Awards. They have come to our fair city to see for themselves the bountiful businesses, the caring community and exemplary experience we have to offer." The judges were also met by St Albans District Council's business portfolio holder, Salith Geigers, the chair of St Albans Civic Society, Tim Boatswain, St Albans Business Improvement District, BID manager, Helen Burridge, and BID chair, Sean Hughes. There was also a giant Visa van parked outside the clock tower, handing out free goodie bags to passers-by at last week's event. Helen said, "Sean and I led the judges on a two-hour tour of the city businesses and communities. We showed them the museum and gallery and suggested their walk of shame from the cell to the courtroom might be repeated were we not to win the award. André Lussmann discussed sustainability in the city. Duraine Tad, the dressing room, and Donna Nichols, Chloe James, talked bricks and mortar retail in an increasing online retail world. And Laura Dawson shared her experience of moving from market to listed building for her Persian ice cream empire. We also shared plans for the cathedral's new visitor experience and the enjoystalbans.com website. The sun shone brightly, the streets and market were beautifully displayed, and the city could not have looked finer. We're delighted a number of our city's businesses benefited from free business health checks and free social media training at the event van too. Thank you to everyone who came out to support the city and its entry into this competition. Keep voting until October the 31st to help secure the other 30% of the final decision.
This article is called Police Reveal Which Vehicle is the Top Choice for Local Car Thieves. And there's a rather unpleasant picture of a man trying to break into a car by smashing the window. Hearts police have revealed which car is the target of choice for car thieves in St Albans and Harpenden. During August and September, there were 10 car thefts where keys were taken during burglaries, 3 in St Albans, 1 in Chiswell Green, and 6 in Harpenden, although 2 of the Harpenden thefts were prevented. Detective Inspector Alex Warwick said, "We have seen a big increase in thefts of cars, with 3 being stolen during burglaries in Harpenden this month. Volkswagen Golfs seem to be the most popular choice of car that thieves are targeting, but other makes have been taken too. One or more thieves were disturbed after a burglary on Overstone Road in Harpenden on Tuesday, September the 25th, where the likely target was a Volkswagen Sirocco. Police believe the theft was prevented because the owner had kept the car keys with him in his bedroom. Another offender was disturbed on a driveway on Ambrose Lane in Harpenden by the occupant in the early hours of September 23rd, after they stole a basket of car keys from the house. It is believed their intention was to steal the cars on the driveway. A Volkswagen Golf and a BMW were stolen from a Wordsworth Road home in Harpenden between September 15th and 16th. However, the Golf was later recovered. A Golf and an Audi were stolen from a driveway in Vale Close in Harpenden on September the 2nd. However, both were recovered. A Golf and other items were stolen from a property in Sibley Avenue in Harpenden in the early hours of September the 1st. Detective Inspector Warwick added, "I know how frustrating, expensive and inconvenient it is to have your car stolen and how invasive it is to have criminals on your property, so let's do everything we can to make it difficult for these thieves. Police say criminals are breaking into houses at night to steal keys for vehicles on driveways and using software to activate keyless fobs within the victim's home while they are outside. Drivers have been advised to buy Faraday bags which block the signal from keyless fobs, to use crook locks to securely lock your vehicle and park cars in garages overnight. Having a tracker on a vehicle will increase the chances of recovering it."
And this next article is headed, "Chamber Accolades Recognise Outstanding Figures in District." Leading lights in the district, from business innovators and young achievers through to green champions and charity fundraisers, were given their chance to shine at this year's Chamber of Commerce Community Business Awards. The 9th annual awards were held in a luxury marquee at the Mercure St Albans NOC Awards and presented by Chamber Director Paul Rosenthal of Amtal Fire and Security, alongside President Alistair Woodgate from Rumble Sedgwick and sponsored by a host of local businesses. Chamber Executive Director Lisa Bates Wallace said, "So many incredible people in our city give up so much of their own time to selflessly help others for the good of St Albans, and these awards acknowledge, recognise and celebrate their contributions. Each year we are so impressed with the calibre of people we shortlist, proving that St Albans truly is an outstanding place to work and live. It is very humbling, inspiring and moving to hear from so many of our finalists during the judging process." President Alistair Woodgate added, "This event is a highlight of the business year. I am grateful to all our award sponsors for their support. Without their involvement, the event would not be the prestigious event it has become. Thank you to Blue Feather, Debenhams Otterway, Ember Designs, Hearts Business Independent, IFPC Wealth Management, Oaklands College, The Print Shop, Radio Verulam, Rayner Essex, St Michael's Manor Hotel, the University of Hertfordshire and the Hearts Advertiser. I, like many others on the evening, felt energised and inspired by those we met and by the stories we heard. All our nominees were worthy winners and I felt privileged to be able to acknowledge those making a real difference in our community. This year's winners were Young Employee Award, Verity Bramwell from the Olley Foundation, Green Business Award, Godfrey's Fish and Chips, Best Restaurant, Tabour, Corporate Social Responsibility, Phil Thompson from Thompson's, New Business of the Year, FECON, Business Leader, James Carpenden of Carpenters, Business Growth Award, Wagada, Community Champion, Emily Ketchin of Harpenden Thames Link Commuters Group. And the President's Award went to Phil Coates from St Albans City Football Club.
Street surveys indicate pro-EU feeling has not abated since referendum. Street polls across the district have seen a thorough condemnation of Brexit by respondents. Pro-EU group Harpenden for Europe, HFE, engaged more than 950 people in six surveys around St Albans, Harpenden, South Down, Redbourne, Wheat Hampstead and Hitchin on September the 29th as part of the People's Vote National Day of Action. The Brexitometer asked residents their thoughts about contentious topics such as ongoing negotiations, job security, the NHS and a People's Vote on the final deal. Results showed more than 93% of respondents believe Brexit is going badly, more than 85% think it will be bad for jobs and the NHS, and nearly 80% would welcome a people's vote. Only 10 out of 395 people from St Albans thought Brexit was going well, compared to 7 out of 232 in Hitchin and 1 in 61 in Harpenden. Chair of HFE, Richard Scott, said, "These polls show once again that a huge majority of local residents want a people's vote on the Brexit deal. We're talking to people from every walk of life and political persuasion, and the truth is people are worried. They increasingly fear Brexit's impact on jobs and public services. They're upset by the poor progress made by the government in negotiations and the growing risk of no deal, which the government has itself admitted will impact food and medical supplies, flights and other vital services. Such an outcome was never on the table in 2016, so it's unsurprising that people all around the country want a final say." He said local MPs Bim Afolami and Anne Main should start listening and support a people's vote. Harpenden for Europe, HFE, is a branch of the European Movement UK and was founded in January 2018. More than 130 street polls and events took place around the country for the People's Vote National Day of Action, and 50 volunteers ran the polls around Hearts. In June 2016, this area bucked the national trend by voting Remain. St Albans with 37% leave, 62% stay, and North Hearts was 45% leave to 54% stay.
And here are the names of people who recently died as published in this week's Hearts Advertiser. Andy Chisholm, there's no age given. John Kayser is aged 88, Tony Allen, aged 60, Evelyn Maud Coleman, no age is given, Elizabeth Bond, aged 98, Julie Ann Cricks, aged 75, Michael Hopper, aged 91, Stan Thomas, aged 89, and Gavin Montgomery Smith, aged 78. May they rest in peace.
This article is entitled Residents' Chance to Hear Proposals for a New Hospital in West Hertfordshire. A meeting is being held in St Albans for residents to hear about the NHS's latest proposal for developing hospital sites in West Herts. Campaigners have long argued that a central A&E hospital between St Albans, Watford and Decorum would better serve residents' needs than the existing services at Watford General. More recently, Herts Valley Clinical Commissioning Group, HVCCG, is considering a new hospital for greenfield land between St Albans and Hemel Hempstead. The meeting for St Albans and Harpenden residents is being held at Trinity Church Hall in Beaconsfield Road, St Albans, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, October the 24th. Earlier meetings are being held in Boreham Wood on Wednesday, October the 17th, and in Decorum on Tuesday, October the 23rd. And a later meeting will be held in Watford on Tuesday, November the 6th. Each meeting will be led by West Herts Hospital Trust, WHHT, and the Herts Valley Clinical Commissioning Group, and will explain the work that is happening over the next few months on the strategic outline case for redeveloping hospital sites. Helen Brown, the acting chief executive at the West Herts Hospital Trust, said, "We're doing some further work to our strategic outline case to satisfy NHS Improvement and NHS England that our plans are solid. Things have moved on in the 12 months since we submitted our strategic outline case, and in view of that, we need to look again at some of our figures, both around patient numbers and finances. In particular, we need to look at how we can make our plans as affordable as possible by looking at how we can do the development in phases. While we're doing that additional work, we look at the feasibility of an alternative option that would bring planned care onto a single site. However, the proposal to develop planned care on the St Albans and Hemel Hempstead hospital sites, as set out in the original plan, currently remains our preferred way forward. The meetings will also explain how the two groups plan to involve residents in work to refine the hospital plans, and attendees will have a chance to put questions to executive officers and health professionals. To book attendance, email communications.hvccg@nhs.net. Specifying which meeting you want to attend and stating if you have any accessibility needs.
10-year-old bags a lead role in West End musical Caroline or Change. A talented young actor has been cast as a lead role in a critically acclaimed West End production. 10-year-old Jack Meredith from Marshalswick in St Albans is one of three boys to play 8-year-old Noah Gelman in Caroline or Change, a musical set in America during the Civil Rights Movement. Caroline is a poorly paid maid in 1963 Louisiana, working for the Gelman family. She befriends Noah while trying to make enough money to feed and clothe her children. After selling out on Broadway, at the Chichester Festival, and then at London's Hampstead Theatre, the play is now moving to the Playhouse Theatre from late November. Jack's dad, John Meredith, said he was speechless when he heard. It's a big opportunity, once in a lifetime. It's quite a step up to go on the West End as a lead role. It's not anything we planned. It's a hobby that has surprised us by growing into this. I think I will probably struggle to watch him because I will be incredibly proud. I know I will be. I will be an emotional and proud dad. Jack already kick-started his acting portfolio in February this year by appearing in a national advert for Kingsmill Bread, which was aired on ITV, Channel 4 and Sky, on top of appearing in local productions. He has been cast as Oliver in Oliver at Harpenden Public Halls this October. John added, when he heard, he said it was a dream come true, and it goes to show that working hard to pursue something always creates opportunities. The pre-teen will have to miss afternoons at Wheatfield Junior School for 3 weeks of rehearsals, ready for his run on stage until April next year. Dad John is not worried about Jack's schoolwork, however, seeing it as simply a busy period. Caroline or Change has been described as a modern masterpiece by the London Evening Standard and given 5-star reviews by the Sunday Times, the Mail on Sunday and the Daily Telegraph. It's directed by Michael Longhurst and written by Tony Kushner, with music by Janine Tesori, and featuring Sharon D. Clarke as Caroline. The production won the Society of London Theatre's Olivier Award for Best New Musical in 2007.
Wind and rain not a problem to Albanian. Old Albanian got back onto the winning trail with a fine 19-10 success against Old Clifrians in National League 2 South. Morgan Thompson led his colleagues out into the Woolhams pitch to mark his 200th National League appearance, and he was able to celebrate with his teammates after the hard-fought win played throughout in a storm of wind and rain. This week, Albanian took every opportunity to score points when the chance presented itself, and this pragmatic approach went some way to blunting the vigorous challenge presented by the visitors. In so doing, Tom Bednell amassed 4 penalties and 1 conversion, and despite the nasty weather, Oways took the 4 league points and will spend the next few days working on areas of improvement. Such areas will include the line out as a matter of some urgency. This part of the Albanian game plan is not operating at full capacity, but when it does, greater power will be available to a talented back division. As it was, the tight scrum stood up well to a bigger outfit, and possession and position gained here left Redcliffians somewhat on the back foot. OAs also used the substantial wind better than their opponents, scoring at better than a point a minute in the opening phases. Defence has caused Albanians some problems from time to time, but that wasn't the case here. 2 breakouts for the visitors resulted in 2 tries for Umbustia centre Jermaine Jones, but all other goal-line attempts were forestalled. Bednell struck his first penalty as early as the 3rd minute, benefiting from having the wind at his back. He also converted tight-head Shamnawi Zaki's try after 11 minutes and landed another penalty before the quarter hour. Jones crossed with 3 minutes of the quarter, remaining to leave the interval score 16-5. Other than a mass of errors from both sides, the second period saw Bednell's last penalty and Jones's second try as the weather deteriorated further. There was greater urgency about the performance this week against a determined visiting effort, and the team's willingness to play running rugby, even when the elements indicate differently, will stand the squad in good stead in the months to come.
Now for some suggestions for your radio listening during the week ahead. And we start with programmes on Saturday, October the 13th. On Radio 4 Extra, a treat for naturalists and all fans of wildlife recordings. Chris Watson is a legendary sound recordist who specialises in location recording. If you enjoy listening to natural histories on Radio 4, you'll have heard his work. In this three-hour extravaganza, Chris Watson traces the change in technology that have revolutionised what we now hear of the natural world. He starts with his own childhood recordings made in the 60s and comes right up to present day with the podcasts we can now download. En route, you'll hear an orchestra under the waves, a celebration of magnetic recording tape that went through the machines at 15 inches per second, and Jeff Emerick, who was a sound engineer for the Beatles when they made the Sgt. Pepper album, talks about the sound effects he created for Being for the benefit of Mr. Kite. The Changing Sound of Radio is the title of the programme, and it starts on Radio 4 Extra at 9 in the morning on Saturday and is repeated in the evening at 7 o'clock. Over on Radio 4 at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, a new series of master tapes begins by marking National Album Day. John Wilson will be talking to Elvis Costello about his key recordings made since 1977, when his debut album, My Aim Is True, came out. The programme was recorded at the BBC Maydevale Studios with a live audience asking questions, and with his career-long collaborator, pianist Steve Need, alongside. In addition, Elvis Costello will perform some of his best-known songs. Master Tapes is in two parts. The first, as just mentioned, starts at 10:30 on Saturday morning on Radio 4, with part two in the afternoon of the same day at 3:30. One of the best things about Radio 4 is those programmes that bring you the unexpected. One such offering crops up on The Bottom Line on Saturday at 5:30 p.m, when you can discover how to build a bridge. Of course, presenter Evan Davies will be joined by three civil engineers to tell him how. And interestingly, the guest list involves one man and two women. If you're a regular listener to Any Questions on Radio 4, you'll want to tune in to Archive on 4 on Saturday evening, as it celebrates Any Questions at 70. The chairman of the programme, Jonathan Dimbleby, looks back to political debate when the programme first took to the airwaves, with contributions from David Blunkett, Matthew Paris, Anne Widdecombe and Bonnie Greer. Any Questions is 70 starts at 8 o'clock on Radio 4.
Now, turning to Sunday, October the 14th, and at 1:30 p.m. on Radio 4, a title to catch your attention, called Charlotte Smith is Sensible. After years of waterproof wearing, turning up early at airports and always having a plan B, Charlotte Smith worries she might have missed out. As well as being on Farming Today, Charlotte is one of the regular Country File presenters on BBC One, and at 50, she takes this opportunity to ask how sensible it is to be sensible. The Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album was mentioned earlier, and you may remember that the album which followed that psychedelic jamboree was, by contrast, packaged very plainly and was called The Beatles. It became known as the White Album and included such classics as Blackbird, Dear Prudence and While My Guitar Gently Weeps. On Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m, Six Music celebrates the White Album's 50th anniversary, when Martin Freeman is joined by Giles Martin, who is the son of the album's lead producer George Martin, Bill Nighy and Nile Rodgers. In the evening of October the 14th at 7:45, you can hear the first of 12 short stories written by David Sesley and read by Sarah Kestelman. The stories entitled Turbulence are all linked because they're all set during plane journeys. In the first one, a mother flies from London to Madrid, leaving behind her 50-something son, who she has been caring for while he is treated for cancer.
A number of radio programmes are broadcast from Monday to Friday during the week at the same time. Starting this week, for instance, Book of the Week each day at 9:45 a.m. on Radio 4 is The Golden Thread. It tells an alternative story of civilization through the weaving of fabrics. Cassia St. Clair begins with the secret power of linens that were wrapped around the bodies of the pharaohs. She goes on to tell the story of the development of mass rayon production in Nazi Germany, and then how the silver spacesuits that took man to the moon were created. The crime drama series, A Small Town Murder, returns for a 12th series at 10:45 each morning this week on Radio 4 and is repeated each evening at 7:45. Mira Sayal stars once again as family liaison officer Jackie Hartwell, who is assigned this time to a woman who has been viciously assaulted in her own home. It soon becomes clear that the suspect is a serial killer who will strike again. Something less scary and definitely more musical is over on Radio 3 from 12 noon each day, when the composer of the week is Ludwig van Beethoven. Donald MacLeod focuses on Beethoven, the pianist and composer for the piano, and the programmes will concentrate particularly on Beethoven's 5 piano concertos.
On to other highlights of the week now, starting with Tuesday, October the 16th, when the afternoon drama on Radio 4 is very timely, with My Little Eye by Richard Stoneman, is an old-fashioned spy story delving into the murky world of international espionage. The new Prime Minister appoints a former spy, Bobby Trench, to control her untrustworthy intelligence network and protect a Russian dissident under threat. Does this sound familiar? Trench is a veteran of international undercover missions, determined to save his career and his reputation as he faces a terrible dilemma. With My Little Eye starts at 2:15 on Tuesday afternoon on Radio 4. Hands up if you were a fan of Blue Peter when you were young. Well, the programme has its 60th anniversary on Tuesday, and Radio 2 marks the occasion with Happy Birthday, Blue Peter, at 9 p.m. Past presenters join Barney Harwood to reminisce about the ever-popular programme for children, famous for that catchphrase, "Here's one I made earlier." Why are we so angry? Asks Oliver Berkman on Wednesday, October the 17th at 9:30 a.m. on Radio 4. Oliver is a journalist who has specialised in psychology and he writes a regular column in The Guardian. For this 5-part series, he turns his attention to the explosion of anger that has torn apart public life recently, asking why this has happened and whether sometimes anger can be a force for good. Turning to Thursday, October the 18th now, and Lenny Henry examines the difficulties faced by young working-class people and those from a non-white background as they try to make it in the acting industry. Class Act is on Radio 4 at 11:30 a.m, and it appears that change is coming with new initiatives across the country. The programme hears that a Glaswegian binman who got a chance to study at drama school and a poet who branched out into acting and is to star alongside Sheridan Smith. Class Act is on Radio 4 at 11:30 a.m. on Thursday. And lastly, something political to round off the week on Friday, the October the 19th. Trump's Evangelicals explores the huge following that President Trump enjoys in America's evangelical heartland. With the midterm elections fast approaching, BBC White House reporter Tara McKelvey asks who gains most from the relationship and what has driven fundamentalist Christians into Trump's camp. Trump's Evangelicals is on Friday morning at 11 on Radio 4. I hope you enjoy your listening, whatever you choose.
We've now come to the end of this recording. So from Mayo, Angela, Lisanne and Michael, and from Alex, who recorded and edited this edition, Jenny and Mecky, who make the copies of the memory stick for you, Fiona, who arranges the distribution, and Jill, who chose the radio selections, goodbye and here's to the next time. You are now at the end of the Saturn recording for October.